sure is good to be here this morning. Let's stand together and turn to page number 262. Page number 262, the light of the world is Jesus. In the first verse.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
On the last verse.
No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Amen. What a beautiful day. What a great crowd. Thank you so much for joining us. May I greet those that are listening by our Lighthouse line as well. We're so glad you joined us this morning. We want to begin this morning in prayer. I've asked Brother Hoppy to pray for us. He is such an encouragement to me. I've told him, and he shakes his head no, but I've told him he's one of my heroes. He's stood by the stuff. He is a faithful man, and he's always been an encouragement to the pastor, both to Brother Pittman, to Brother Cochran, and myself, and always has an encouraging word. Brother Hoppy, would you come and pray for us this morning, please?
I really feel, for I pray, so undeserving. I tell you, to stand back behind this sacred desk where so many people have stood. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You today because there's no other place that we can come to get our prayers answered except You. Amen. Thank You, Father, for Your life and helping us down through the portals of time. And Father, we found out that You're trustworthy. And Father, we thank You today for this church and for what it stands for. We ask our Heavenly Father that if there's one here lost without You that does not know You as personal Savior, that they will come to the old-fashioned altar, Father, and receive You as Savior. We pray today for the people that's downstairs, the teacher. Lord, we pray that You'll bless them. And Father, bless in the singing. Then we pray, Father, for the preachers, Lord, as they bring the Word of God. We ask our Heavenly Father that You'd anoint them with the Holy Spirit of God. Help us today. We have no other place that we can come to get our prayers answered except through You. We ask You in the sweet name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We want to welcome our visitors today. We have the Harness family with us. I'm so grateful they're able to be with us today. I'll introduce you to them in just a little bit. But if you are a first-time visitor at our church, we want to put something in your hand. We've got a small gift we'd like to give you, a pen from our church, and then a book. I think the Harness family is the only family that is visiting with us this morning. We're so grateful that you're with us. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 86. And just for a moment and throughout this hour, I want you to turn your mind and turn your eyes to the Lord. Church is a time where we set aside from the cares of this life, the burdens and the problems that life brings our way, and we focus on our Savior. We look toward heaven and ask for God's help. And I feel that we need to begin our service by looking to God, who is the source of our help and our strength. Psalm 86, the Bible says in verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." Many of you have been here for each service since I've become pastor of the church, and I've placed an emphasis on the truth. And truth is always accompanied by something. You'll find there's an Old Testament principle I'll preach this morning, that truth is also accompanied with mercy. And this is how God deals with his children. So as you look in verse 11, I hope that you'll mark that the scripture says, "I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." This is Psalm 86 and verse 12. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me." Would you mark that? God's mercy is great toward each of us. The Bible says, "And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous." I hope that you'll mark your scripture in mercy and truth. I'm so thankful that we have such a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father that is filled with mercy and truth. Several announcements this morning. Let me begin by many that have asked me to pray for them. Kim Blankenship messaged me this morning, and she's not feeling well. She's been fighting a problem for the last few weeks, and it's a lung infection, and we're praying for her. Let's also pray for Carol and Robert Phillips. She's also not feeling well this morning. Austin texted me this morning. He's not feeling well either. Let's pray for him. Miss Diane Hamilton texted me, and she's out, not feeling well, so let's pray for her. And then I would like for you to pray for my daughter-in-law, Jessica. Jessica is not feeling well either. She has preeclampsia. Brianna is actually due about 2 weeks before Jessica, but they plan to deliver the baby on Tuesday. So it's something that I want you to take before the Lord. I'm asking you that you pray for Jessica, as she will have the baby this week. That makes Shelly and I, Grandma and Grandpa, number four. Amen. Are you excited about that? I know that Shelly and I are, and so thankful for that. I have several announcements I need to make on this month, January the 26th and 27th. That's not this Monday and Tuesday, but next Monday and Tuesday, there will be some men from our church go down to the Faithful Men's Meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Temple Baptist Church. That'll be an encouraging time. If you'd like to be part of that, like to go with us, please let me know. We're also arranging a group of men to be able to go to Brother Daryl Cox's church, Trinity Baptist Church in Moxville, North Carolina, for their winter revival. They'll have three different speakers. We'll leave on Monday evening on February the 2nd, and we'll return late that night, the next day on the 3rd, Tuesday evening, and we'll stay in the hotel overnight. And if you'd like to go and be part of that, I've already had several men tell me they'd like to be part of that. If the ladies would like to go, anyone who would like to go would be welcome. So that'll be February the 2nd and 3rd. That's just 2 weeks away. I want you to be praying about that if the Lord allow you to go. Now, our prayer meeting is scheduled for the 3rd. This past the first Tuesday of January, we had our first prayer meeting on the first Tuesday of every month, and we had 26. I'm praying that the Lord would add to that. I'm praying that we would have even a greater crowd than 26, and we'll have to move that date. Instead of it being on February the 3rd, we'll move it to February the 10th because several of us will be there in North Carolina at that meeting, and we want you to be part of that, and I hope that you'll write that down. February the 10th at 7 o'clock, I hope that you'll be part of that meeting. Also in the lobby, there is a sign-up sheet for our Valentine's banquet. The Valentine's banquet will be Friday the 13th. That is in February on the day before Valentine's Day. We're looking forward to that. It's at 6 p.m. If you would like to be part of that, we want you to sign up there in the back for that. The last announcement is I would like to announce a business meeting. I mentioned it on Wednesday night. Our church purchased a bus just over a year ago. And I've drove a school bus for 23 years. I have purchased many commercial vehicles. I've purchased many buses for churches. I've had many buses that I've been able to give away. And this is a very unique situation where our church was looking for a bus for our teenagers, for our senior citizens in our church, that type of thing. And I had a list of boxes checked, the right engine, the right transmission, the right air brake system, and so on and so forth. And this bus met all of those requirements, and we were so pleased and so excited to find it. All to find out that when we got there, our church really couldn't use it because it sits so low to the ground. As a matter of fact, it sits so low to the ground, we did a little bit of the damage to the bus. We did some body damage to it as we drug it, using it to pick up boys and girls in the bus ministry. And we certainly want to do that. And I want you to pray about this. This evening, we'll vote to sell that bus. I had a church confront Pastor and I probably about 2 months ago, and it's Cranberry Baptist Church over in Beckley, and they said, hey, if you're not using this bus, we would like to buy it. We'd like to purchase it from you. They had some storm damage, and because of that, they had to take their funds and use it to replace the roof. And then they contacted me last week or week before last now and asked if we were still willing to sell the bus. And I spoke with the men of the church, and they all are in a total 100% agreement, unanimous vote, that we should sell this bus and move forward. So we'll vote on that tonight. We'll get most of our money back. We paid $56,000 for the bus, and we're going to take $50,000 for the bus. That's a $6,000 loss. Now, what happened was we damaged the bus. We also had some damage in the bathroom. There's a bathroom in the back of it, and we put some miles on it. We used it quite a bit for the bus ministry. So we feel like that we're coming out ahead. We've done more than broke even. So we'll have that meeting tonight after the service. This will be my first business meeting, so I want you to pray that the Lord would help me with that. I have several other things I'd like to share with you, but for sake of time, we'll move forward at this time. I want you to pray for the choir. Now, they're going to sing a very special song, and I love it so much. It's Under the Blood. How many of you enjoy and rejoice? We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. How many of you worship the Lord in your heart when you think about your sins being under the blood? I want you to think about it as the choir comes to sing.
Thank you.
Stand together and turn to page number 448. Page number 448, brethren, we've met to worship. Number 448 on the second verse.
Brethren, see poor sinners. slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. On the last verse, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna.
Sweet spirit here today. Would you be seated, please? Thank you. May have a seat. I'm just grateful to be here, aren't you? What a blessing it is to be where the children of God are, my family in Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged to be here. I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and I'm also going to ask Brother Andrew Harness to come. He's going to introduce himself in just a moment. Brother Harness and his wife Samantha are here along with their children. They serve in Canada at Prince Albert Baptist Church, and we're grateful that they're with us today. And we're also very thankful that he's going to share just a portion of his testimony and tell us a little bit about what he's doing there and how God is using him. Before he comes and prays for us and prays for the offering, I've marked my envelope today as a special building project. I mentioned on Wednesday night that Pastor has moved out of his office, and we want to convert that to a toddler Sunday school class, and we're going to rip the carpet out, and we're going to change, put new sheetrock up. Some of it's been messed up. We're going to paint it and put some lighting in there. We're going to add a toddler toilet, and we're going to make it usable for the little guys. That's going to cost some money, and if you'd like to be involved, take one of the special envelopes, mark on their building project, stick in the offering plate, and we'll make sure it gets to that place. All right, Brother Harness, come share with us how God is using you there in Canada. I'm so glad you're with us today.
Yeah, good to be here. Okay, well, first off, thank you. We were staying in your little house just across the yard last night and tonight, so thank you for that. It's been a blessing to our family. So I'm Andrew Harness and my wife Samantha, and then we have six children, five boys and one girl. And I knew the Davises first when they came up to Sherwood Park. That's where I was born. My dad is the pastor of Victory Baptist at the time, and my older brother pastors it now. But so I was about like 17 or 18 when they moved up, and got to know them. They stayed at the, like in Sherwood Park, for about a year and a half before they went to Hinton, and kind of get acclimatized to the Canadian way of life and weather, and it's cold there. I get people ask me when they see the van, like, what is that cord hanging out of your hood for? As I go, you got to plug it in up where we're from, otherwise it won't start, you know. And so the Davises, they were a huge blessing to me through those years. Spent a bit of time traveling with Brother Davis. He started doing like Bible studies, stuff like that in Hinton, and did a couple trips with him. And he taught our Bible Institute the 1 year, so probably not his best student, but that was, anyways, been a great, a good friendship, and we haven't seen them for a few years, but good you stop in. We're just on a little bit of a holiday touring the U.S. We thought we'd go somewhere warm for the cold, but then a lot of days to check it, we actually ended up getting warm in where we're, like in Prince Albert, and a couple of days it was colder in Kentucky by the Ark there than it was at our house. So it's like, but then when we get back, the forecast is low 30s, minus 40, looking for when we get back. So it's, yeah. we still get plenty of winter. And then, yeah, when I was 22, I moved to Prince Albert. That's where we live now, and got married there. And so we serve in the church, Prince Albert Baptist Church, Pastor David Webster is pastoring, and good ministry there. It's Prince Albert is, it's about like 9 hours kind of northwest of like Minot, North Dakota. So it's up there a little bit, but kind of the last city north, and then it just gets bush past us. So bush and little tiny like reserves and settlements and stuff like that. So we serve, Samantha does the bookkeeping, and I'm a deacon in the church, and we just do what we can to serve the Lord and be a part of the ministry there. So let's pray for the offering. Lord, we just thank you for your love to us. Thank you for everyone who came this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school and that things we could learn and that we would remember that the Word of God is inspired and we can trust every word of it and that you've given it to us to read, that we would read. I know it's we have more access to the Word now than we've had in the past, but we seem to read it less than ever. I pray that you'd help each of us to submerge ourselves in the Word of God. I pray for the offering now. You'd bless with the ministries here at the church and just be with the service this morning. Pray you'd speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. heaven and earth adore him. That's what Miss Emma was playing on the piano. It was such a blessing. I would like you to take God's word and turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I want you to pray for our teenagers. Brother Bill and Miss Jennifer are taking an active role in working with our teenagers both on Wednesday night and on Sunday. Sometimes you may wonder, why do the teenagers wait here until the special music is finished? You'll find out today they help us with it. And I want them to be involved and be part of that. When they're finished singing, the teenagers will go downstairs, and I do want you to pray for them and pray for Brother Bill. Let's pray for these teenagers as they come to sing.
Think of all my faults and all my failures. When I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Good news for the ears of the sinner. We have redemption in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, this is Eliezer. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to mark Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2, you'll only find his name mentioned one time in the scripture. And that's where it's found at if you want to look it up. But this is Eliezer. And then the Bible says, and Abraham said to this eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And of course, we'll read this entire chapter, and that's the theme, that's the story. If you are not familiar with this story, you are in for a treat, not from me, but from the Lord. What a beautiful story now that is going to unfold in these next few verses of how God provides a beautiful, and that's what the scripture says, a beautiful wife for his chosen seed, Abraham, and now Isaac. It's a beautiful thing that's about to take place. Look what the Bible says in verse 5, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware, lest thou bring not my son thither again. Don't take him back there. You bring the wife here. That's what the scripture's saying. Verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Isn't that a blessing? And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this mine oath, only bring not my son thither again. The Bible says in verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. I hope that you'll mark her name. There it is. This is the future wife of Isaac. Oh, it's a beautiful thing that's about to happen. The Bible says, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. I told you she was beautiful. A virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Isn't it wonderful how God works in our life? Isn't it wonderful to see how God just leads us along, oh so softly, oh so tenderly? It's a beautiful thing to see how God works in each of our lives. Would you pray with me? And I'm going to ask you to do something serious. Now I'm going to ask you to do something spiritual. I want you to pray and ask that God would open your heart. I want you to pray as I'm praying that God would speak to your heart today through his word. And I'm praying that God would help me as well. Would you pray that way? Let's all pray together. Father in heaven, I'm praying in Jesus' name that you would help us today. We've gathered for a purpose. Lord, we need to be helped. We need to be completed. Lord, we need to be matured. Father, we need to be equipped to do your work. Father, we need to know and to understand thy will. Lord, we want to be able to serve you effectively. Lord, we want to live the Christian life according to your word and according to your purpose for us. Lord, as a body of believers, as an assembly this morning, we pray and ask that you would bind the devil. Lord, that you would open our ears, our minds, our hearts, our thoughts. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to be sensitive to your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have our hearts and our minds right with thee. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be single-minded now. And Lord, may we turn our thoughts, our attention upon your word. I pray that you would help us to be obedient to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I only share half of the story. There's two reasons for that. Number one, I'm sure you want to go home in a decent time, right? And the second reason why I only share half the story is I want you to come back tonight and hear the other part of it. What a beautiful story that we have in the Word of God. And it's not just a beautiful story. Nowhere in the Scripture does God place a story just for our entertainment. This story has a very specific purpose to help us understand how that God works in our life. Now, this is the fourth message on Sunday that I've been able to preach as your pastor, and I am trying to lay the groundwork for my ministry here at the church as pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I feel there's a heavy weight. There's a heavy burden upon me to be obedient to the Lord, to preach according to his will. I'm praying and I'm studying and I'm asking God that he would help me and give me wisdom so that I might do what he would want me to do. I'm praying that you will do the same thing. Pray that God will help me. Pray that God will direct every message and not one of them would be outside of his will. I want to preach exactly what God wants me to preach. The first message I shared with you is a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. I want to remind you that the book of Luke gives us 2,500 words to define or to declare for us the incarnation of Jesus Christ. John only uses 5, that he was full of grace and truth. So if you were to ask John, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14, who Jesus is, he would tell you that Jesus is full of grace and truth. I began to tell and explain to the church how beautiful it is to be able to teach and preach the grace of God and what an important thing. But I also described and declared that it can never be singular. There is a great error in our churches today where preachers are only preachers of the grace of God and the love of God without the truth of God. Boy, oh boy, what a mess that would get us in. I've also preached and declared very clearly, and it is my desire that you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is grace and truth, and they cannot be separated. So we understand that just as grace is dangerous without the truth, truth is dangerous without grace. And may we understand that this is who Christ is. And then my next series of messages, which was last Sunday, two-part message, was this: how does the believer handle the truth? What does the believer do with the truth of the Word of God? So the believer's responsibility, and I want you to see that the responsibility of our church, and again, this is the groundwork, this is the foundation work of the ministry here. The work of God must be presented. We must speak the truth in love. Not only do we understand that grace and truth cannot be separated, But we cannot speak the truth without love. And this is God's way. This is God's plan. And I demonstrated that for you, and I gave many illustrations of the Old Testament, how God's work has to be done His way. And as we preach the Word of God, we're very, very specific that when we speak the truth, that it must be done in love. So first, we started with who Christ is. He's grace and truth. And then we transitioned on how the Christian is to speak the truth, and they're to always speak the truth in love. Now, this last message, both this morning and tonight, is going to emphasize how God always deals with His children. God always deals with His children in a very specific way. And I want to walk you through the Old Testament, and I want you to see how we can recognize God's hand in our life. I want you to recognize that this is God working. This is God dealing. And of course, we can put two and two together. If this is how God works in the lives of men, if this is how God handles circumstances in the lives of men, then we must understand that our preaching and our teaching must mimic or follow the example that is set by God Himself. And every ministry of our church must follow after this pattern. There is a specific biblical pattern. We find this in the story, not only in the book of Genesis, but all throughout the Old Testament. But as I'm reading through my Old Testament again, I'm in Exodus chapter 21. As I'm looking at the pages of the Word of God again, I've come across this story and I found this truth as I've been studying. Would you look with me again at just verse 27, and I want you to see the principle. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." I hope that you'll mark that in your Bible. "I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So important for us to see that when God deals with us, He always deals with us in mercy and in truth. Mercy and in truth. Again, as before, these never stand alone. God always uses them in tandem. They always work together. Let me give you just a few things about this story. Let's begin with Isaac. Would you turn back with me to chapter 22? And I want you to look with me at verse number 1. When we talk about Isaac, he was the promised son. He was the one that God promised that He would bless. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." And the Bible says in verse 2, "And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of." We see that God chose Isaac to fulfill His promise. God did not choose Ishmael or any of the other children of Abraham. And by the way, Abraham had many, many sons after Hagar and after Sarah have passed off the scene. He had other handmaids that he had children with, other sons. But God chose to use Isaac to fulfill His promise. It's so important that we understand that. Look with me all the way back in chapter 17. I want you to see that this is the miracle child of Abraham and Isaac. Oh, this man needs a wife. This promised seed needs a wife, a beautiful wife. And this wife would be delivered by the hand of God in God's time. If you'll notice with me in verse 5, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5, he says, "Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." We find that truth there. Look back with me in chapter 22 where we were just at, and I want you to see in verse 5 of this chapter as well, the Bible says, and I know I'm turning back and forth, but I'm trying to give you a picture of Isaac. I'm trying to show you with what God is going to do. The Bible says in verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And look at the faith that Abraham had concerning his son. "And come again to you." Understand that Abraham was going to be tested. understand that Abraham was going to be tried. Now, we understand, according to Genesis chapter 17, that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and we understand that Sarah was 90 years old. Again, of course, fulfilling this picture that Isaac was a beautiful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't go into that. If you'll look with me in chapter 21 and verse 6, just a few more interesting things about Isaac. Notice what in chapter 21 and verse 6, Abraham said, verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Would you mark that that word laugh there? God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Isaac's name literally means laugh or laughter. Why? Because he was the son of Abraham at the age of 100 and the son of Sarah at the age of 90. Oh, how much faith they must have had in God to believe and trust that God would provide his son at that age. Isaac is also important because he pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just one facet of that in chapter 22 and verse number 7. And just one quick thought, and I'll move very quickly. Look with me what the Bible says in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together. Here's what I want you to see, that Isaac was a beautiful picture or foreshadowed the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ and the substitution that he would provide. This is the last one. In chapter 24, if you'll turn with me back to chapter 24, and that's the text, and I want to move on and get into the message. In chapter 24, this is not just about Isaac finding a wife. Now, when I read through this chapter and I look at it, my heart is just overwhelmed with the thought that Isaac is going to get a beautiful bride. But this chapter has more to do with God fulfilling his promise than it does with Isaac receiving a wife. Do you see the point? God always keeps his word, and he did it in a miraculous way. And of course, God uses the entire scripture to do this. We understand that the Old Testament law, all the prophets, and the Psalms teach us that God deals consistently with man the exact same way. And that brings us back to verse number 27. How does God deal with his children? He always deals with us in mercy and in truth. They always walk together. They can never be separated. I want you to jot this down beside verse 27. Would you jot this down? Truth never cancels the compassion of God. You know, God knows all things. God knows how wicked we are. God knows how sinful we are. Listen for just a moment. If you've convinced yourself that you're okay, and one of the most prideful things that you'll ever say, and I haven't heard anybody say this, so I'm not pointing out anybody, but one of the most prideful things that you'll ever say is, I'm okay. Because honestly, we are not okay. We need the Lord. We need his help. We need to recognize that we're sinners. I prayed this morning, Lord, you know my genealogy. You know my father and my grandfather. Oh, and much worse than that, you know my spiritual father. I'm a child of the devil. I'm a child of wrath. I'm a child of disobedience. God knows where I came from. But I want you to understand that I've been adopted into his family. I've been made joint heirs with Jesus. Christ is in me. He is the hope of the world. Understand that Jesus Christ has transformed me and made me different. He lives within me now. But oh, how I need him and how I need him to work in my life. And it comforts me to understand how God deals with people. Not only does it comfort me to know how God deals with people, it gives us direction in the Christian life on how we're to live our life. I'm only going to give you just a few of the principles this morning that I want to share with you on this thought, and I'm praying that you'll come back tonight and get the rest of the message. The first one is this, and I want you to look with me at verse number 12, and I want to make this clear. I want to make this so clear. Is God identifies himself throughout history in the books of the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, God identifies himself with this method of dealing with men. You say, Brother Fred, how do I know when God is working in my life? Look for his mercy and truth. You say, Brother Fred, how do I know I'm on the right path of life? Look for his mercy and truth. And that is how God deals with men. Let me share with you. Look with me at verse number 12. The Bible says in verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. By verses 12 through 14, I would like for you to write this thought, that God shapes us by his mercy and truth. What does mercy do for the believer? How does God deal with the believer? He deals with us in mercy and truth. And when God deals with us in mercy and truth, it shapes us. You say, Brother Fred, what do you mean by that? He shapes, number one, our thought here is he shapes our discernment. So many times we're wondering what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes we're wondering, how do we deal with people? Sometimes we understand, is someone right with God or not right with God? We try to find out, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? How is it that God wants me to live? I want you to understand that God's mercy and his truth shape us. It gives us discernment. It gives us the ability to understand and know how God works in our life. See, with Eliezer, he knew very clearly that God was working because he was looking for something specific. You'll find it throughout this chapter. He knew that God was dealing with him. He knew that God was helping him because he was looking for God's mercy and his truth. That's what he was after. I want you to look with me in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. I've got two verses I'd like to share with you from Proverbs, and I hope that you'll mark both of them. And what I'm trying to share with you is an Old Testament principle that is found throughout the Scripture. I wish I would have counted them, but at least a dozen and a half, probably two dozen times, we see that God consistently deals with his children through mercy and truth. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and verse number 3, I want you to see, and I want you to pray this way. I want you to think this way. I want you to think scripturally. I want you to think like Christ would think. I want you to have the mind of Christ. I want you to have the mind of God. As a believer, being saved is so much more than just attending church. It's thinking like our Savior would think. It's behaving like our Savior would behave. And how would our Savior think? It's found for us in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. May I read it? The Bible says, let not, what? Mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. God teaches us that this mercy and truth begins to shape our life. It is bound in our mind. It is bound in our heart. It is bound in how we think and how we behave, how we live and breathe. God wants his mercy and his truth to dictate how we live our life. Would you look with me at chapter 16 and verse number 6? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 6. This mercy and truth, it shapes us. Oh, it certainly shaped Eliezer. He recognized this is how he could find the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16, look with me at verse number 6. The scripture says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Now, I'll read the rest of the verse, but I want to focus on this first statement. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. But look at the first part. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And maybe in your Bible right there, you could see, how does God clean us? He cleans us through mercy and truth. How does God correct us? He corrects us through mercy and truth. How does God chasten us? He chastens us through mercy and truth. So the point that I'm trying to make, the foundation that I'm trying to lay is this. If God deals with us in a singular way, and by the way, he's never a God of wrath. He's never a God of justice. He's never a God of anger, toward his children. God always separates his judgment. He always puts the righteous and the wicked apart. God never pours his wrath, his chastisement. The billows of God's wrath have never rolled on the ungodly and the godly at the same time. They've always been separated. So what I want you to understand is there is a biblical principle here. There's a biblical truth that must dictate for us how we live our life. We must allow this truth to shape us that God deals with us in mercy and in truth. And we must deal with everyone that we come in contact. And every ministry of this church must be rooted in this principle that we are shaped, our discernment is shaped by the mercy and truth of God. Oh, it helps us recognize God's leadership in our life. Has God ever been silent to you? Have there ever been days where you don't feel like your prayers are answered? Has there been moments, has there been time that has passed where you wonder, is God there? Is God working? Miss Ham, I'm sure she's listening now. She went through such a difficult time. She fell and literally shattered her shoulder, 10 anchors in her shoulder, and spent 21 plus days in the hospital. And she told me, she says, Brother Fred, it just seems like some days go by and I know the Lord's with me. I know he's there, but it just seems like so dark. Have you ever been in a valley like that? Have you ever been in a time where you wonder, where is God in all this? How is God moving and how is God working? Let me tell you what to look for. Look for his mercy. Look for his truth. God will always reveal himself, and God always reveals himself in his mercy and his truth. We have such a twisted mentality as a church that we think that somehow correction we have to correct, or we have to do a chastening work to those that are out of line or those that may not be right with God. Listen, you better take your hands off. You better watch out, because you better follow the pattern that God uses. God uses the pattern of mercy and truth. You say, Brother Fred, I don't see it. Look again with me. Would you look with me at this verse again, verses 12 through 14, when there was the request made by Eliezer? There was no request that this lady be wealthy. There was no request that she was beautiful. There was no request that she have influence. That was never requested. Do you know what Eliezer wanted? He wanted discernment from God. He wanted to know what God's will was. He wanted to know what God's purpose was. And he wanted to follow what God wanted him to do. He wanted to be obedient to the Lord. May we make that the same goal of our church. May we always be searching in every circumstance, in every situation. May this truth, may this principle guide us for many, many years to come. The mercy and truth of God. What does he ask for? If you'll notice in these verses, and I know we're out of time, but would you look at this? The Bible says he's asking for the kindness of the Lord. Notice at the end of verse 14. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed, what is the word here? Kindness unto my master. You know what that is? That's the mercy of God. What does he ask for? He asked that he might know, so that he might have discernment. He's praying in verse 12 and 13. He's praying that he would have discernment. That's the truth. We need the truth to discern God's will. And then we need the mercy of God to obey him. I have several more things I'd like to share with you this morning, and that's just the first of many. But I want you to see that the mercy of God shapes us. Have you allowed the mercy and the truth of God to shape you? Here's what I've found that is so powerful about this, and if you'll stand with me, we're finished. Here's what I've found that is so powerful about this principle. Mercy and truth never exalt the servant. Mercy and truth is never about the servant. Mercy and truth always exalts the Lord. When we use God's pattern, when we use God's plan, it's all about bringing glory to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, may we leave behind the traditions of this world for ungodly concepts, for worldly mindsets, for carnal desires. Lord, may you help us to set those aside. Father, I pray that as an assembly, as a body of believers, that you would help us to be sincere in this goal, to allow your mercy and your truth to shape us. May we discern your hand. May we know that you're working. May we know that you're moving. May we know that your will is being accomplished by seeing your mercy extended and your truth proclaimed. Father, I pray that you would help us to follow in your steps. Help us to do thy will in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, is it possible that there would be someone here today that doesn't know for sure that heaven would be their home? Not sure if something were to happen to you that you'd go to heaven. You've got some doubt. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I just want to pray for you. You say, Brother Fred, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all like that? Not going to point you out. I promise you I won't. I just want to pray for you. How many of you say, Brother Fred, yes, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, oh boy, God's Holy Spirit has got to me. He's convicted my heart today. And I sure need to adopt this principle in my life. I need to be shaped by the mercy and truth of God. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Many, many hands. The altar is open. The invitation is going to be extended. As David begins to sing, I want you to come. Many hands went up. And as he begins to sing, would you come? Yes, there is. Don't miss out on a blessing today. Only you know what it takes to be obedient to the Lord. If God wants you to come around this old-fashioned altar, would you come this morning? Would you seek for the Lord's help? As Miss Emma continues to play, I want you to look this way. We're singing page 277. I'd like for you to open your hymn book and sing with us. 277. God is working in hearts this morning, and we want to be patient. 277. Sing one more verse. Would you sing out? Amen. Rejoice in these truths. Thank you. Aren't you thankful for how God deals with us? Isn't it wonderful to be saved by a God that loves us so greatly? Do you know, there's been many times in my life I've wondered, how in the world could God love somebody like me? Oh, how prideful that is. It's not about who I am. It's about who God is. Because God is so great, He can love a wretch like me. Because God is so wonderful, He can love a worm like me. Oh, what a Savior. I'm thankful that He deals with me in His mercy and His truth. Oh, I want you to see the bride. She'll be coming tonight. I want you to meet her. I want you to see this wonderful marriage that will take place. Don't miss it. I don't want you to miss how God governs and how God rules in the life of His children with this principle, mercy and truth. It's so powerful, so helpful. Please bring somebody with you tonight. I'm going to ask David, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, we thank You for this message we've heard today, Lord. Lord, we're made by mercy and, Lord, shaped in love by the potter's hand, dear God. Lord, I pray that You'd just help us to chew on this message, dear Lord, for the rest of the day, dear Lord, and then come back tonight and slide up to the table, dear Lord, and be fed some more of Your truth and word and mercy, dear God. Lord, I pray that You'd protect us all as we travel home now, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd be with our bus kids, Lord. I pray they got something today as well. Lord, I pray that You'd bring us back to Your house again tonight. In Your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.